Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome to another edition. It's the All Access Football Show. I'm your show host, Bomar Shaw. Today, hopefully, if all the guests arrive, we have Elite Minds founder Robert Price. He's a sports psychologist. Very interesting talk. We've had him a few times on before, and what he has to bring to the table is very interesting. We also should have Roosevelt Nix. If you're not familiar with Roosevelt, he was the MAC Defensive Player of the Year, and he did it as a freshman. And last but not very least is Greg Rosenthal. You might know that name from Roto World. All you fantasy football gurus out there, you know the phone number. It's 347-945-6275. And Greg gets on if you guys want to call up the show and shoot some questions to him for some great fantasy advice. I suggest you do that. A lot to talk about within this hour. A lot to talk about within the world of college and pro football. Obviously, we have the final of the bowl or the college football season winding down. We have number two Oregon going to Oregon State. You know, that's a bit of rivalry. I mean, most living on the East Coast aren't familiar with how, you know, bitter that rivalry is between those two schools. And it's going to be interesting. You know, Ryan Katz, the quarterback for LSU, I mean, he has a chance to pull a nice upset there at Oregon, and we'll see. Oregon, I thought, showed a lot of grit when they played Stanford at home. They were down big early, and they came back to rally, and, you know, they put up another 50, which is typical Oregon football. So that's something to keep your eyes posted to. And, you know, the other game I think the college football world is going to be focusing in on is Auburn and South Carolina. So Cam Newton, see if he can win one more, you know, and bring the number one Auburn Tigers to the BCS championship game. South Carolina, I mean, you know, Steve Spurrier, they got the great freshman running back and Marcus Lattimore, a guy to keep your eyes on, especially the people out there looking for that next great young back. A guy like Marcus is definitely a guy to keep your eyes on. I'm your show host again, Bo Marchand, and NFL Draft Bible, College Football Insiders. I just wanted to take some time out before everything else gets started, but, you know, East-West Shrine Game, Combine, that's all going to be starting right around the corner. I mean, these bowl games are going to start. You know, it won't be long after that this whole big thing gets on the road. And like I said, we're going to have some special guests tonight. Robert Price from Elite Minds. We're going to have Roosevelt Nix, Kent State Defensive Player of the Year in the MAC, and then Greg Rosenthal from Roto World. So a lot of fun stuff to talk with you guys about tonight. And I think we got Robert calling in tonight. Robert, is that you?
It's me. How you doing?
Oh, great. This is Robert Price from Elite Minds. He's a sports psychologist. How you been, Rob?
I've been doing well. I've been getting myself prepared. As you mentioned, we have, once I see November and all of the end-of-season bowl games getting ready to get started, I start getting a little bit more excited because I know that my job is really getting ready to jumpstart itself and become extremely, extremely busy. So I'm excited.
Yeah. And you've been doing this for about 10 years?
Yes, exactly. So since 2000. So this is going on, I guess, year 11. But I'm excited.
And real quick, for the people who haven't, you know, heard us talk before, tell them a little bit of your background and what you bring to the NFL. I know you work with the Giants, so the people out there listening, tell them what you do.
As you mentioned, I do assessments mostly for the Giants and also a little bit for the Chicago Bears, where basically most people, you know, think of me as a psych guy, as a shrink, where I actually get an opportunity to test guys. But as things have evolved and as the league has evolved, I've been doing a lot more character assessments, and so I get to go around to some of the bowl games and also to the combines and provide that character assessment piece for the teams and also individually for players. And I try to work with them in order to prepare them for the combines and also for really the biggest, I call it, job interview that they'll ever have. So one of the things that's one of the things that I have the pleasure of doing and getting guys ready mentally for this dream that they're seeking.
And Rob, I mean, for as long as you've been doing this, I mean, has the, you know, what the teams ask from you, has that changed? I mean, what was the main concern when you first started from the team's point of view? What did they want to know most, and has that changed, you know, as you go into 2011?
I think that it's changed somewhat, but in reality, they want a guy that's going to be to fit easily on their team. And so they're really looking at, you know, is this particular personality or is this particular person really going to be able to mesh with what we currently have and what we're getting ready to have. And so that in and of itself hasn't changed, but some of the philosophy around how do you find that has changed. And I just kind of ebb and flow with that and really try to understand exactly what type of athlete we're dealing with. You know, there are different athletes, I believe, in this short amount of time than when I first started in 2000 to currently. So you have to be able to understand how they're different and really figure out creative ways to get the information that you really need, because this is an information society that we're living in, and so you would think that there's a lot of things out there, but you still have to be very creative in assessing a player's character, especially.
Nice. And that would, you know, just say, I know you say you work with the Giants, you've done work with the Chicago Bears as well. I mean, is this a 53-man roster type thing even after these guys are on the team? I mean, might they call you and say, hey, you know, so-and-so? I mean, do you ever sit and talk with the guys after they're drafted, or it's just kind of a pre-draft evaluation and then it's one and done?
Most times it's just a pre-draft, but as I've been doing this work for a little over, you know, the 10 years, I've been able to establish relationships, not with even guys that are on the Giants roster, but just guys that I test along the way. And now I have relationships with guys in and out of the league and also, you know, post-draft, essentially. So as time grows, as your reputation grows, and as your rapport, you know, you can build rapport with the players, they see that what you do, is worthwhile. And so, you know, the initial pieces, as you mentioned, is the pre-draft and doing character assessment. And part of what I do outside of that really is performance peak, you know, performance-related. I get a person to really perform consistently on and off the field by doing certain mental skill techniques that I work with them on. So that's really essential and crucial once they get drafted, but also moving forward as they start to play.
Now, what you do as a profession, do other NFL teams have the same type of guy like you doing what you're doing?
There are quite a few teams that do that. You know, it changes every year. I think when I go to the combines, I kind of get to see, you know, what teams are using different types of services. Most every team has, you know, some type of mental assessment on a guy or psychological assessment. Some, you know, might strictly just use the Wonderlic piece. But for the most part nowadays, all of our teams have kind of evolved and really are trying to find ways to assess character. How much weight they put upon that changes, obviously, per team. But, you know, that just – and the coaches changes. So there's some different things that change there. But for the most part, most of the teams are really trying to do a little bit of this work.
Nice. You know, and Robert, I mean, looking at some of these guys that come through the draft, I mean, there's red flags that pop up for certain individuals. I mean, do teams, you think, just even if they know, I mean, even if a guy like you says, hey, you know, this might, you know, all the numbers don't check out here, do you still think these guys just can't resist the super talented guy and they still roll the dice on him, even if they know?
Some teams do. I think we see that year in and year out, what teams those are that actually take that roll of the dice. And sometimes, you know, a certain guy really is just very attractive to a team, and, you know, they feel that there might be a few people around them, either on the staff or, you know, they might bring a person like myself in as a consultant to really work specifically with that particular player, and they might take a flyer on that kind of guy. It definitely is going to change their draft status, that's really where, you know, it's really crucial. So it's, you know, when we're looking at draft status and what round and whether you're a free agent, you know, all that has to do with money. So, you know, how much they're willing to really invest in you. You know, they will invest in you, but how much is the question. So, and that changes.
You know, and not, I mean, just this just popped in my head as we were talking. I mean, do agents ever reach out to you? Do they ever, you know, nag at you to maybe get a personal assessment of a kid before they maybe try to, you know, have him as a client?
Not prior to them being a client, I guess, but, okay. You know, in that courting stage, I guess, sometimes I get calls and they want to know, what do you know about a guy?
Okay.
As they're trying to match themselves, obviously, with players, especially right around, you know, these times. So I do get those calls or questions sometimes, you know, what do you, have you heard any more about, you know, X, Y, or Z player, other than okay. What's kind of there. So I do get that from some of the agents because they're, some agents want to align themselves with certain character guys because, again, their reputation is also on the line when they're presenting their player to the general managers and the team presidents. So they really want to try to, you know, certain agents also do the same thing. Am I going to take a flyer on this guy? Do I really think that I can, you know, get this guy moving? And so, you know, agents definitely ask those types of questions. And they also ask me how they can do that for a player.
Nice. We're speaking with Robert Price, the founder of Elite Minds and like sports psychologist, over 10 years experience. And he's a guy that, you know, a New York Giants fan, those guys that you're seeing getting picked, he might be the key piece to those guys getting put on that team due to what he tells the brass of the New York Giants. I mean, you talked about the relationships with the guys. I mean, is that one of the funnest rewards, you know, seeing these guys as young men and then, you know, seeing them grow and still keeping in touch with them?
Absolutely. I mean, that's really why I think that I do this work is to, because I like to make change and impact, and I like to help. And so really to see a 20-year-old, a 22-year-old, 21-year-old, you know, really in just, you know, I call it really like that beginning stages of manhood, and get to live out their dream and play a game that they really enjoy. And really by the time they're 27, you know, or 28, it's like, wow, you know, you get to see a lot of growth and progress with them. So, you know, I think as I always share with people that we are looking at kids still. I mean, Aaron Rodgers just turned 27 years old today. I mean, I can't remember 27, but the mirror, you know. So these are still young guys that we're working with, and so they're definitely going to make errors and make mistakes, but it's really cool to see them mature.
Nice. You know, Robert, and we booked you to do the show tonight, I was thinking, you know, we have the Miami Heat heading to Cleveland, and I know we're a football show, but LeBron James, I mean, what is egomaniac? I mean, what's the psychology, you know, what's the breakdown of LeBron's, you know, psyche there?
Well, this is really, I think, going to be his, I had a talk earlier about this, is that I believe that this is going to be his signature moment, as you will, as a player.
Okay.
I mean, he's destined for the Hall of Fame. However, we're going to look back on this day and say, you know, either A, he really, you know, took his game to another level, or B, he was just a really good talent. Because this really is, it's like a golf major or really the seventh game of the World Series or the seventh game of the NBA Finals, where it's just him, you know, really having to make a statement. So this really is his opportunity to prove that he is mentally tough and really show his mettle. I mean, I can't imagine the butterflies that he has going on right now as he's getting ready to get his warm-up on and go out there and take the floor. But one of the great things about him is that he's going to a place that's familiar to him. And so a lot of people forget that. So in any sport, if you're going to a place that you're familiar with, there's still some comfort. And he's going to find those comfortable spots on that floor that he's familiar with. And I look for him to do really, really well tonight.
Nice, nice. Well, Robert, hey, we appreciate you coming on the show. You going to be making your way down to all the bowl games, East-West Shrine, Senior, Texas First Nation and such?
I'm going to limit my travel, but I'm going to try to get to as many of those as I can. Those are fun things, but I got two young children, so I got to limit some of that travel, but I will definitely be at the big one, so Senior Bowl.
The combine?
The Senior Bowl.
You're okay, so we'll definitely hook up at the Senior Bowl. I tell you what, the Senior Bowl is a fun time, ain't it?
It is. It's a great opportunity if people haven't been to that town, and they really put on a show for those young guys, so... It's a really nice event.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Well, hey, Robert, if we don't talk to you by then, hey, man, have a great Christmas. Appreciate you coming on the show, and we'll see. Look to see what LeBron does tonight.
All right, I do too. So everybody in the world's going to be watching this game.
No, definitely.
All right, take care.
Thanks, Robert.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Bye-bye.
That's Robert Price, Elite Minds founder. Great guy. And, you know, some of the stuff he brings up, I have him on the show before, really interesting stuff. I mean, you know, just see how, you know, deep everything goes. It's not just X's and O's anymore. It's, you know, a mental breakdown of these guys. And, you know, you have a psychiatrist like him, you know, the psychologist, I'm sorry, you know, getting deep into the heads. of these kids and bringing out, you know, back the evaluations. I'm a show host here, Beau Marchand, on the All Access Football Show, powered by Fantasy Sports Channel. And like I said, a great show. We got Roosevelt Nix coming off. We should have him about 20 after. He was the Kent State Flash MAC Player of the Year, and that's a pretty special achievement. I believe he's the only freshman to have won that award since its existence. That's over 45 years. We have a caller. I see a David Harrison. I'm going to take this call and get Dave on the show. Dave, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How you doing, my man? You have a question?
Yeah, you guys are talking about that Miami game. Do you think that'll be a big mashup?
Can you say that again?
The Miami game that's happening tonight, I do believe. Do you think that'll be a big mashup? I know you guys are, like you said, you guys are all about football, but, I mean, you guys
Of course. I think the whole world's going to be watching. It's probably one of the biggest matchups you'll probably see. And I think the anticipation of tonight's game is probably one of the most hyped up games probably in the last 10 years. I mean, I can't think of a game with this type of, you know, a guy going back to a place where he's this despised. I mean, does anybody come to your mind that, you know, they played somewhere and they're going to come back to play and they're this hated, if you will?
Probably not.
Yeah. I know. Let me ask you this. Are you a James fan?
Well, sort of, yeah. I mean,
are you a Cavs fan or a James fan first?
Cats.
All right. So tonight, I mean, what would you, if you could pick, you know, the storyline, what would you like to see happen tonight?
Well, I'd really love to see Miami really go for it. But at the same time, I'm looking at LeBron, and I wonder how good he's going to do with this game. I mean,
Thanks for the call, Dave. You know, and a guy like LeBron, you know, not to get off subject again, you know, it'll be interesting. He's definitely had his moments. He's, definitely one of the best players in the NBA. And we'll see what he does tonight in Cleveland. That's going to be a big showdown. I know everyone is excited here in Ohio, and we'll see what they can do. I don't even know if the game will last. That'll be the interesting part, to see the annexed of the fans and everything else that goes on during the game, to see, you know, when this game actually, you know, ends, if there's not that much craziness going on. So I think we're going to see some exciting things. I mean, and, you know, it's crazy because, we have Houston at Philadelphia, you know, the Texans at the Eagles. I mean, we have an NFL game. We have Arizona State at number 23, Arizona, also going on. And it's not too many times that there's an event, regardless of what sport it is, that's going to kind of overshadow what, you know, professional NFL football or college football does. But, you know, you're kind of seeing that, you know, tonight with, you know, the impact that LeBron James has had. And, you know, actually it just goes to show, I mean, we're an all-ex football show. I mean, we do nothing but football, and here we are on the eve of LeBron James' homecoming back to Cleveland, and we're discussing what he'll do tonight. And like I said, it should be fun. I know I'm excited to watch it. I'll be flipping back and forth through the two football games and the basketball game as well, trying to get as much as I can, you know, in my mind. As Robert was talking, the Senior Bowl, East-West Shrine Games, I mean, it's crazy to believe, and this is what the heart of the NFL Draft Bible is, you know, college guys going to the draft, you know, and college football insiders bringing these guys to you every week. You know, we have 1 month, basically, and it's going to be all seniors and juniors and the guys that are eligible for the draft, you know, starting this long, long process from January. And, people say from January the draft. You know, the draft, once they reach the draft, it's a whole other point of proving themselves, you know, in NFL training camps and OTAs and, you know, through the preseason. And it's interesting as you watch these guys, you know, from January go through their combine and combine training sessions, wherever they may go, you know, and then they have to, you know, pro days, draft, you know, and then, you know, free agent signings, and then, you know, spend the summer doing what they do. It's a long, long uphill climb for these young men, and it's great to be part of it, and I can't wait. Once January rolls around, player spotlight shows, start hitting the phone lines, getting these kids on, start to hear from kids from all kinds of schools. I mean, we had Tim Tebow on last year. We have guys from, schools I can't even think of. They sound like a make-believe if I even thought of half of them, you know. Carmody College, you know, there's a kid from Carmody College, you know, we have him on the show. So, you know, no stone is left unturned here at the NFL Draft Bible. We know we try to bring the best, insight that we can to you guys, and we try to bring every single prospect that has a chance to make it to that next level onto the show. I'm your show host, Bo Marchant, and we're going to be looking for Roosevelt Nix of the Kent State Flashes to be joining us. He was the MAC Defensive Player of the Year, a really good talent, and like I said, freshman MAC Defensive Player of the Year, 10 sacks. And then later on in the show, Greg Rosenthal from the Roto World, the fantasy man himself, he's going to be joining us, taking your calls, talking a little fantasy football. And I know everybody loves talking fantasy football. But, you know, we have a lot of college football season. You know, we have Auburn, big game. And then, it's only fitting, you know, that Oregon that travels to Oregon State for that nice in-house rivalry, in-state rivalry between the two. And it's going to, you know, see if anything gets shaken up as, we head to the final climax of the BCS and what it stands for. And, E. Gordon G., the president, I believe, of Ohio State, you know, talking about, you know, we don't play little sisters of the poor, talking about, you know, the schedule of the Big Ten and Pac-10 and, you know, SEC compared to some of these other schools that, you know, Boise State and TCU or, you know, these Mountain West and these type of conferences. I guess my only, problem with the whole BCS system is, you know, if the teams like a Boise or a TCU aren't going to be given a fair shot, then just take them out of the equation. You know, I don't think it's right to even put them in there if there's not a realistic chance that they're going to make it. And, you know, I think when, you know, the upper, you know, the brain trust of all this stuff maybe don't want to see these teams succeed because it's all about money. And, you know, that's the final, you know, verdict of all that, you know, we're seeing in college football as schools move and, you know, change conferences and, you know, starting to break up the history that we've seen and, you know, known the love of college football. But, if these teams are going to have a realistic shot, then, you know, fine. But, you know, if they're going to kind of have that, you know, that asterisk next to their name because they're not a Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-10, SEC school, you know, eliminate them from the discussion. You know, maybe let all those schools have a playoff system. I mean, maybe that would, you know, maybe that's what we want. I think we'd be more excited seeing that anyways. I mean, really, you know, you can watch Oregon play Ohio State in the Rose Bowl, and then you can watch TCU and Boise State and all these other schools, even the Big East. You know, let these other guys have a shot at it, you know. So, like an idea, we all know what we want, and we will anticipate to see if we will ever get it. And right now we're going to be joined by Roosevelt Nix. He's the Kent State Flash MAC Defensive Player of the Year. Roosevelt, are you there?
Yes, sir. How's it going?
Oh, great. Congratulations on the award. First of all, I mean, when you heard that, where were you? I mean, what was your reaction?
Thanks. I was walking to class, and my defensive coordinator, Coach Rex, called me and told me to meet him in the coach's office. He had something to tell me, and I had no idea what was going on, so I walked to the coach's office, and he let me know all the awards that I won.
Nice. Now, was it an excited coach that called you, or did you think maybe you did something wrong? Was it like, hey, meet me in my office, or hey, meet me in my office, I got great news?
Well, anytime you get a call from your coach and you don't know what it's about, kind of nerve-wracking, but I didn't know what to expect. I was thinking in my head, did I do anything wrong? But I knew I didn't, and he told me, and it's just a real exciting moment.
Yeah, I mean, and this is great. I mean, the first player since Jack Lambert in 72 to win it from Kent, and I think the first freshman, I believe, ever in the MAC to win it as a defensive player of the year. I mean, when you got here, I mean, obviously, you're a talented player, but, I mean, did you think you would end up having this much success as a freshman?
Well, I never knew exactly what I was getting myself into. I kind of was just lining up and playing and took all the things that the coaches taught me, all the film that we watched, and all the things the older players told me, took it all in and just played, really.
Nice. And, I mean, for you, I mean – I mean, obviously, there's probably a lot to still learn, but I mean, you're this successful now. I mean, how far along, if you could put it on a scale? I mean, are you at a 7? Are you already at a 9? I mean, where are you at in terms? And I mean, how much more do you have to grow? I mean, because I mean, obviously, your start is just off the charts.
Oh, I don't even know where I would put myself on that chart. Like I said, I mean, I'm a littler guy, so I always have room to improve in the weight room and running and conditioning. This is something I don't have against other offensive linemen, and that's just being as big and strong as them. So I always push myself and I always make myself work harder in the weight room because I know that's a disadvantage for me.
Yeah. Now, they have you about, what, 6 foot, 240?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now I was at the Army game when you guys were at home, and you know I put the binoculars on you every single play because I wanted to see you. I mean, you're a short dude, but I mean you still don't look small on the field. I mean, some guys look small, but you don't look small. I mean, is that tweener role? I mean, and any guys that you look up to? I mean, who the guy you know that you kind of like pattern your game after?
I don't know. I don't even know how to answer that question. There's too many good defensive linemen in the NFL. Just like I said, I don't know.
Nice. Roosevelt Nix, he was the MAC Defensive Player of the Year. He's joining us here on the All Access Football Show, powered by the Fantasy Sports Channel. Roosevelt, after you got the phone call, who was the first person that you called to tell him that you won the award?
Oh, I had to call my mother and my father first. They've just always been there for me. And after my mother and my father, it was my grandparents. I know I just love them. They've always been there to support me throughout the whole recruiting process. They came to every game this season. I just had to call them.
Nice. Now,
he just cut out. Yeah. He was right in the middle of talking something.
Had a little bit of technical difficulty there. I think we had like a little power shortage or something and shut us all down. We were speaking with Roosevelt Nix. He's the
MAC Defensive Player of the Year. And sorry, we got cut off from Roosevelt. But interesting young man. 10 sacks in his first season, and he was talking about how he, you know, talked to his grandparents and whatnot after, you know, he heard the news of winning the award. Like I said, glad we got him on the show, a very interesting man. Later on in the show, we're going to be looking to get Greg Rosenthal, the Roto World Fantasy Master, on the show, and he's going to be taking your calls. 347-945-6275 is the call-in number. That way you guys can call in, or is anything you want to ask Greg, feel free to do it. We had Robert Price, Elite Minds co-founder there, on the show earlier, and then we just had Roosevelt Nix, the MAC Defensive Player of the Year for the Kent State Golden Flashes. What an achievement. Freshman Defensive Player of the Year, and he's definitely set the bar high for himself. I mean, when you get to school as a freshman and then you already can cross off Defensive Player of the Year off the bucket list once you get there, that's saying a lot, and, you know, it kind of reminds me of a guy like George Selby from South Florida. I mean, remember how crazy good he was, you know, early on in his career, you know, and you can't really say even tapered off. I mean, they had Paul there, you know, they had some talented guys around him, but, you know, he kind of got overshadowed, if you will. But like I said, kind of just that instant impact guy, Nix is that for the Flashes, and kind of makes me think of George Selby, the success he had early in South Florida. I mean, just, whoosh, man, you're talking cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs type stuff is what Selby did. And this is what Nix brings. Smaller, but I'm telling you, he doesn't look small on the field. When you see him on the field, 6'2", 240, he does not look small. I mean, you know, you're talking maybe some 6'4", 280 guys. You know, he's a thick, thick kid, you know, so he got some meat to him. He's not a guy that's going to get pushed around real, real easy. Remember, he's a freshman, so, I mean, you know, they're going to add some weight to that frame. They're going to build him up. They're going to make him stronger. And like I said, he's a guy to keep your eye on. Roosevelt Nix, the 2010 MAC Defensive Player of the Year, joining us here on the All Access Show. I'm your host, Bo Marchant. Remember, 347-945-6275 is the call-in number. And we were talking a little college football. We were talking a little bit NFL. We have the Houston Texans going to Philadelphia tonight to take the Eagles on. And if you're like me, I'm just kind of done with the Houston Texans. I'm tired with the flirtation they bring to each season. You know, this is their year. This is your year. This was supposed to be the year. I mean, after all the ifs and buts and if they will or won't they, this was the season to prove to everyone that this team is for real. I mean, they've had Matt Schaub healthy, not nicked up where, you know, he's been nicked, but that's Matt Schaub. You know, no significant crazy time. I mean, they're getting a phenomenal year out of nowhere from Arian Foster. Andre Johnson is superb. They did lose D'Amico Ryans on the defensive side of things. They had Cushing gone for 4 games. He's playing well. But a team like the Texans, you know, the staple game, I think, even when they played the Cowboys, I mean, you know, the Dallas was on the ropes, and they destroyed the Texans. And I thought that was the first kind of, you know, chink in the armor, if you will, that the Texans really weren't for real. And, you know, last week they beat a depleted Tennessee Titans team 20-0, which I really didn't think was an impressive win. Because, you know, I mean, they have, Rusty Smith at quarterback and whatnot. So, a lot has to be said about the Texans. I mean, if they win tonight, great. But I think Andy Reid will have the Eagles ready to play, and I don't think that's going to be an issue. You know, crazy year in the NFL. I mean, you know, the Chargers are doing the typical thing the Chargers do. It's nice to see Philip Rivers finally getting the notice he deserves. I mean, I think it was 2 years ago, the Chargers struggle early. They finish great. You know, that's their MO. That's what they do. And, you know, a guy like Philip Rivers, I mean, I think it was 2 years ago, you know, I was shocked that Kerry Collins made the Pro Bowl because the Titans finished the season, I think, 13-3. And, you know, during that time, you know, whatever their record may have been, just say 7-2, 8-2, I don't know, 9-1 even. I don't remember the exact numbers. But you had a guy like Kerry Collins who had identical numbers to Jamarcus Russell. And then you had this guy out on the West Coast, Philip Rivers, just tearing it up, tearing the NFL up. And he didn't even make the Pro Bowl. Didn't even make the Pro Bowl, but Kerry Collins got selected. Why? Because the Titans had some supreme record, the best record in the AFC. And really, by credit, you know, to Collins, but that just shows you what winning can do. And now we're going to be joined with Greg Rosenthal, the Roto World Master. Greg, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How's it going, man?
Oh, great. I haven't talked to you for a while. Obviously, you're a very busy man. I mean, this is your time to shine. If you agree, I mean, has this been one of the stranger NFL fantasy seasons when you look at all the kind of guys, the Brandon Lloyds, the Arian Fosters, I mean, Kyle Orton putting up Dan Marino-type numbers? I mean, does it just make you shake your head and say, you know, what's going on?
I had a conversation about this with someone the other day who's been in the business a lot longer than me, and I've been doing it full-time for about 8 years. And he thought it was the craziest season he could remember. I tried to say, I don't know, I think I said that like 3 or 4 times in the last 8 years because it'll always surprise you. I mean, you're right. Stevie Johnson, I think, is a perfect example when I'm doing my rankings this week. And, you know, he's just one of the most reliable guys possible. And, I mean, you have to be the biggest, you know, fantasy fan in the world to even know who he was, you know, before the season.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. I mean, a guy like him, he comes out of nowhere. I think he went to Kentucky. Yeah, but rookie last year. You know, the one thing, Greg, is they did like him last year during training camp and stuff. I mean, granted, I didn't think he would be this good. But, I mean, I know the Bills liked him. I heard a lot of good things coming out of their camp that they liked this kid. But, again, that, you know, you can hear that a lot about that. I mean, Adrian Arrington from Michigan spent a couple years with the Saints. I mean, they said the same things about him, and he's not in the NFL right now. So, I mean, that said, I mean, looking at these guys, I'm thinking wide receivers, your Randy Moss, the Vincent Jacksons, and the Sidney Rices. I mean, with playoffs right around the corner, Greg, for, you know, a lot of leagues, I mean, are these guys that you want to start? I mean, are these guys that, you know, if you have another option, it's just time to say, hey, these guys ran their course, they're done.
You know, Sidney Rice this week against the Bills at home, you know, they have him playing on a different side of the field, which might be a problem, but I think that Vikings team is so different at home than they are on the road, and I think they're becoming more of a run-heavy team with Leslie Frazier. But with that said, I think Rice is a decent third receiver. I wouldn't mind playing him this week. I would kind of hope I have better options, but we have him ranked in our top 35 or so. And, you know, Vincent Jackson, yeah, I mean, I'd be surprised if he even plays in the next couple of weeks. Randy Moss is a tough one. Kerry Collins is back. Jacksonville looks great on paper, but at this point, I don't think you can trust him. I'm benching him on my team, which starts tonight.
Yeah, I mean, and biggest disappointment, is he the biggest fantasy bust of 2010?
I think he's right there because, you know, he's played every game. I don't think it's really fair to call guys that are injuries busts. I mean, it sort of is what it is, to quote Bill Parcells. I mean, it's going to happen every year, and it stinks if you drafted a guy that gets hurt. But Moss has been out there every week. I think some of the running backs are close, but, you know, when we talk about it being such an unpredictable season, you know, the running back position, it hasn't been that unpredictable. You know, the top 10 guys have mostly come through and haven't killed you. Some guys right below that, Sean Green, Ryan Matthews, Javid Best, to me, have been big disappointments, and those are guys people took in the top 30, 35 picks.
Yeah, and, you know, Greg, looking at these guys moving forward, I mean, you know, a lot was expected out of Matthews, and granted, he has been dinged up. I mean, Best had that crazy week, I forget which, early in the season, where he looked like he was going to be the next coming of something crazy. I mean, looking forward, I mean, not to get ahead of ourselves, but, I mean, next year, I mean, where do these guys kind of fall into these tiers of running backs? I mean, are they guys that are still going to be looked at, you know, when you guys do your evaluations from what you know now? I mean, do you think these guys are going to be guys that you can lean on and depend on next year?
Well, it's all about value. So now their value is going to be knocked down. Are they going to bounce back, or are they going to get overrated again like a Beanie Wells and maybe even a Donald Brown did this year when we thought they would bounce back after a bad year? You know, Ryan Matthews is a guy I really question whether he's going to be a guy that stays healthy for 350 touches. I think Javid Best, we saw a glimpse of what he can be, and he got a couple turf toes. He's got his own injury questions as well, but I think he can be a really explosive player. Sean Green, you know, I think it's just LaDainian Tomlinson's been better than we expected. Green's been playing better of late. I don't think he's going to be a top 20 type fantasy guy, but he'll be solid.
Nice. And, you know, looking at tonight's game, you got the Texans going to Philly. I mean, Vic has been off the charts. I don't know who would have thought that he would have been playing this well. I mean, DeSean Jackson, I mean, it seems like a lethal combination. I mean, when you look at these guys, I mean, going into next season, a guy like Vic, I mean, where does he kind of fall into, you know, if you're ranking Vic for 2011, where does he fall into the fray if he stays with the Eagles?
I think he's top five quarterbacks, no doubt, probably top three, probably the, you know, if the season ended today, you know, I think he'd be the number one quarterback. It'll be a question, you know, how high do you want to rank him? But the running yards, just, you know, we just haven't seen this from a fantasy quarterback in a while that can combine the running yards and the passing yards like he can. So I think he would be number one. I really do.
And on the other side of it, I mean, a guy like Arian Foster, former Tennessee Volunteer, I believe. I mean, you know, super season this kid's having. I mean, next year, I mean, when you guys do these rankings, I mean, is he a top five back? I mean, does he supplant some of the established names that we're familiar with?
Yeah, he will. And it's funny, you know, I just was thinking about Vic. You know who another big bust would have been? It's Kevin Cobb. I mean, people took him really high as a top seven or eight type of quarterback. He lost his job, you know, to Vic. That's as bad as it gets. Foster, yeah, and to answer the question about Foster, yeah, he's going to be right there. I mean, there's no doubt. There's no reason not to. Sometimes, you know, these guys aren't going to necessarily repeat the season, but you can get too cute trying to overthink knocking a young, talented player like that in a perfect situation down too far just because we know the other guy's name is better. It'll be a good debate. You know, do you take him? Do you take Chris Johnson? Do you take Adrian Peterson? That'll be a good debate, but I think he'll be in the top five overall picks, no doubt.
Nice. And, you know, looking at these matchups, you know, as we go forward, I mean, you know this inside and out. I mean, who are the hot guys right now? I mean, you know, if leagues can still make trades or maybe I don't think there's anybody left on the waiver wire that people could pick up, but I mean, who are the guys that you think are starting to pick up momentum that if you could have them for the last, you know, playoff weeks of fantasy football, I mean, who are those guys going to be, Greg?
Well, I traded Noshon Moreno in one league, and I really didn't need him. I still don't. I have McCoy, Colbert, who's been great, and Charles, so I just had too many running backs, and I got plenty for him. But Moreno is a guy that I would want. He's got a great schedule coming up. He's kind of turned into a borderline number one type of running back. The San Diego and Kansas City schedules are both good, so I think Jamaal Charles is going to keep it going. I think Tolbert, as long as Matthews doesn't stay healthy, he's going to be a guy that I like. I think a couple guys coming on strong late are the Carolina backs. Mike Goodson obviously has been good the last 2 weeks, and then Jonathan Stewart finally looked like the Jonathan Stewart of old. Their schedule isn't too bad either. I actually have them both ranked in the top 25 this week.
Nice, nice. And we're speaking with Greg Rosenthal, Roto World, NBC. I mean, you know, if you're talking fantasy sports, I mean, it's kind of like goes hand in hand. Greg Rosenthal, fantasy football, Roto World, it's all there. Greg, I mean, with these guys like the Arian Fosters, your Steve Smiths, these guys that kind of, you know, have these breakout seasons, when you yourself are doing your draft, I mean, you're evaluating these guys, I mean, do you kind of take a lot of flyers, or are you going to still say, you know what, I love you, Steve Johnson, but I'm still going to take Miles Austin, or, you know, hey, Arian Foster, I'm still going to take a guy like, you know, just say, like a Maurice Jones-Drew. I mean, do you pass these guys for the new hot thing, or you kind of stay with the old reliable?
Well, it's a balance. I tend to, you know, I don't deviate from the board that I set up on RotoWorld that much, to be honest, but I will go for guys that I like before the season. I mean, sometimes it's going to work. Fred Jackson's a guy I drafted in like almost all my leagues, and luckily I held on to him. I almost dropped him because he wasn't doing anything for a while, and that worked out. I think you always want to reach for guys that you really like. Stevie Johnson, Foster, you know, that's what our job is, kind of, to figure out how they fit into the mix. But I don't think Stevie Johnson is going to be a top 20 guy in our rankings going into next year, I'll put it that way.
Nice, nice. Now, Greg, we're getting a question here, you know, it's talking about Vic tonight. I mean, do you like him tonight? I mean, I know you have to like him every night, but I mean, do you expect an above average game from Vic? From TT Warrior number one is asking, you know, what type of night do you think Vic might have?
Well, the Texans struggle with the vertical pass more than any team, and no one is better at big plays right now than Michael Vick, 25-yard passes. He leads the league in those plays per pass. So, I mean, it sets up as the perfect matchup. I mean, there's probably not a secondary playing any worse than Houston overall this year. Arizona's right there. Jacksonville's right there. Washington at times has been there. But the Texans are terrible. So I think it's a good matchup for all the Eagles. The, you know, one concern I would have is the Eagles' rush defense is so bad. I think the Texans can keep this game interesting, and I think they'll really try to play ball control, which they've done a better job of doing recently, and that'll just take snaps away from Vic. But he doesn't need the ball too much to score a lot of points.
Yeah, definitely. And I know you know, but I was curious, DeSean Jackson, all his touchdowns this year have come in the first quarter. Is that crazy?
Wow. I didn't know that. My wife's got him on her team. She needs a big point total from him tonight, so I'll let her know. She can watch the first quarter, and after that, she might as well leave.
Yeah, let her know. I think whatever, how many touchdowns he has on the year, all of them have come in the first quarter. Unless he didn't score last week. Did he score last weekend?
No, he didn't. I'm actually going to write up a thing for PFT at some point this evening about a report on ESPN where he's looking to – his representatives reportedly are concerned with his health, with his concussion, and they want him doing fewer shallow crosses and plays over the middle where he could potentially be exposed, but maybe put him on punt returns a little less. I think that had something to do with a little – flare-up that happened last week between him and Andy Reid. So that's kind of something to keep an eye on. I don't think the Eagles coaches are going to take too kindly to being told, you know, how they're going to use this player.
You know what, Greg, I think that comes down to him probably being due $500,000 next year. I think if there was some another zero and a different type of number in front of that five, maybe his caretakers probably wouldn't be caring so much where he what he does. But I think it's that $500,000. And then, like you said, the concussions, the boot that are maybe causing the concerns, and I think we're maybe seeing a little bit of that aggravation of, you know, contract and health and, you know, looking forward to kind of, you know, pad your own, you know, your own self-worth due to the nature of the business. Greg, before I let you go, you know, great having you come on. For all the fantasy people out there, I mean, tell them where they can find your work and tell them, you know, what you do. I mean, I know they know what you do, but tell them yourself.
Well, you know, I help run the news at RotoWorld, and I think that's the best part of our site. You know, we have a team of writers, and we're cranking it pretty much 24/7, seven days a week. And then, you know, Chris Wesseling and Evan Silva do an awesome job with all the columns and everything else that comes with the site. So you can check it out there at RotoWorld. That's pretty much it. Kind of oversee those guys and do the rankings and a bunch of other stuff and work on PFT. Keep them busy.
Nice. And, Greg, I mean, you're the fantasy man. I mean, your fantasy team, how's it doing this year?
You know what? I have to be perfectly honest. I'm coming off the two best years of my life in fantasy by far. Last year was insane. Won a lot of leagues, won a lot of money. This year has not been as good, I have to be honest. I'm struggling. In my local league, where I'm a two-time defending champ, I need to win this week just to make the playoffs. So I have to be honest; it hasn't been one of my best years.
And I mean, how much? I mean, you being who you are and being so respected in the business, I mean, is it a really big deal? I mean, do you get a lot of ridicule and get teased by your buddies when you do get beat?
Well, in our office league, definitely, because most of the other guys work for NBCSports.com. They don't work for RotoWorld. So they definitely like to take me out, and everyone's kind of rooting against me, especially this week, because I'm right on the borderline. I need a win to even have a chance to get in. So, yeah, I'm pretty much the team everyone wants to lose.
Greg. Hey, well, Greg, we appreciate you taking some time. We'd love to have you back if you have time, because I know you're a very busy man, but we appreciate you coming on the All Access Football Show.
All right, man. Good talking to you.
You too, Greg. That's Greg Rosenthal, NBC Sports, Pro Football Talk, I believe, Roto World. I mean, you guys know who he is. I mean, I bet everyone listening to the show has probably been to Roto World 25 times already today, checking out the latest fantasy news for your fantasy teams. I'm your host, Beau Marchant. We're talking football. We had Roosevelt Nix, MAC Defensive Player of the Year. We just had Greg Rosenthal, the Roto World. Earlier around 5, we had Robert Price, the founder, co-founder of Elite Minds. He's a sports psychologist breaking down minds for a couple NFL teams he's worked for, works a lot with the New York Giants and giving those evaluations. So, I mean, we had a great show, lots to talk about. You know, we got college football. We even had a little LeBron James talk today. We even had a caller call in to talk. You know, I did enjoy the call. He thought, did we think tonight's game would be a big game? That has to be one of the better questions I've ever heard. Do you think tonight's game will be a big game? I don't know. It might get some better ratings than the Pistons versus the Nets. I could say that. I think it'll definitely outscore the Nets and Pistons for TV ratings tonight as the Miami Heat travel to the Cleveland Cavaliers, the homecoming of LeBron James, King James, back in Cleveland. I'm your show host, Beau Marchant. Thanks again. I know you could be doing a lot of other things besides listening to me talk to you for an hour. I appreciate you taking some time listening to the show. Remember, go to the NFL Draft Bible. There you're going to find all the latest college and football pro football news. And remember, College Football Insiders, 18 editions of the College Football Insiders when you sign up for the NFL Draft Bible. Great stuff. And like I said, I just saw the sneak preview of this week's edition. And I know I was very excited. I was at the Pitt, West Virginia last week. And on that particular piece, not to toot my own horn, but talked with Noel Devine of the West Virginia Mountaineers and really walked away with a one-on-one interview. Really nice kid. And, if you listen to me enough and when I do these shows, I really talk, you know, everyone that comes across, I always talk them up saying they're a great kid or they're, you know, great talent. But an sincere, I mean, kid was off the charts. I mean, not too many times you walk away more impressed with the guy off the field than what he is on it. And that's how I felt when I talked to Noel. Really personable, really down to earth. And like I said, you know, when you're rooting for people, he's one guy you don't want to root against if you don't like him because he's a good kid. He's somebody that, you know, should be exciting to watch as he ends his career with the Mountaineers in a couple weeks. And then off to the bowl game, and then he'll be combine bound. Also in that piece, when you read the College Football Insiders, find out who he would pay money to see in the pros. Which running back would Noel Devine pay to see? And he also has some combine hopes, some things he would like to achieve when he arrives in Indianapolis for the NFL scouting combine. I'm your show host, Beau Marchant. Once again, thanks for taking some time listening to the All Access Football Show. Remember, go to the NFL Draft Bible, College Football Insiders. And again, have a great night.